Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with the Indiana Pacers fan, Dustin Schutte. How you doing, Dustin?
I'm doing great, Jim. They still lead the series 2-1. So I'm still fired up as we record this. How are you doing?
I am not too bad. You know what? Full disclosure for folks, this show's going to go out on Wednesday. So I don't know the NBA schedule. So I don't know if there'll be another game played. We're recording on Monday. I don't know if another game's played. When's the next game, Dustin?
Do you know? It's Tuesday, so they'll be up 3-1.
He says very confidently. So here, I am upbeat. We were talking earlier. We're both still in the midst of Memorial Day weekend. I had a good weekend. I even watching hardcore my Mets and Dodgers, two of the best teams in the National League, two of the best teams money could buy. So I will concede, you know, they're both big money teams. But the Mets, after just a disappointing game on Friday, they won Saturday, they won Sunday night. So I'm still happy. They now get to play the hapless Chicago White Sox. So by the time this airs, people will know I might be talking crazy here, but of course I feel good about my Mets playing the White Sox, Dustin. So you're an Indiana guy. So Memorial Week, you got your Pacers, you got the Indy 500, you got a lot going on.
Yeah, I'm a big – so I'm not a huge – like, I enjoy, like, stock car racing, and I enjoy – but it's not, like, it's something I'm diehard about, but I have to watch the Indy 500 every year. And this year it happened – now, this is a – I don't know if this is a funny story. It's kind of traumatizing if you ask me. However, so I always tell people – if you have any interest in motorsports or, like, going to a big-time event, you have to go to the Indy 500 at least once. And then after that, it's not everybody's cup of tea. I fully acknowledge that. So that's my message to everybody. But so this weekend, the way the NBA schedule worked out, we had what we call in Indiana Pacers and Racers, which is when the Indy 500 falls the same day as the Pacers playing in the playoffs, and it just so happened to be a home game. It is the fourth time that's happened. Jim, the Pacers are 0-4 now. Ooh. On Pacers and Racers Sunday. So we can't. So now I'm just in the future, as much as fun as it is and as much hype and excitement as like builds up around the city in Indianapolis and everything, I'm now going to like send a letter to the NBA and protest in any future Eastern Conference Finals matchups that they have that not be played on Indy 500 Sunday.
You would think that would be because it's such a Indianapolis day, you know, and a home playoff game, obviously.
Yep.
You would think that, you know, at least over four games, that's a large enough sample size.
Now, I don't remember the first two. Maybe I was alive for it. I just don't remember. I just don't bring a memory. But I remember, this is the crazy thing. In 2000, I think it was 13. 2013 was the Pacers had a lead in game four against the Miami Heat, a double-digit lead. And Dwayne Wade got into it with Eric Spoelstra, and then they end up, they've lost. And then, of course, this year, they were up 20 points at one point, had a 15-point lead in the third quarter, and then blow it. So it's not only, it's like blowing a tire on the last lap is what, is what has happened with these Pacers and Racers games, unfortunately. For me, if you're a Knicks fan, which I'm sure there's probably some listening, congratulations, you got to win. I don't expect another one.
Wow. There's them fighting words. I've been just amazed. And again, I'm not the biggest NBA fan. I used to be. I'm a big basketball fan, but I'm not crazy about the NBA game. I have, however, watched several playoff games this year. And I've been just so impressed. The level of play is so high. The level of difficulty of the shots, because the defense is so good, so aggressive, so physical, and the shot making is incredible considering that, Dustin.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what's made it more fun is it seems like we're not that far removed from when LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh made up a super team, and then Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. And now it's like we've had five different champions in five straight years or six. And so it's kind of like you have to assemble an actual team now. You can't just rely on a big three or a big four or whatever. And so I think in that regard, I understand that some people don't like the style of play of the NBA, or maybe it's just not their thing. They prefer college basketball. You know, I still like college basketball a great deal, but I do, as an Indiana native, I still love all levels of basketball. But I do think that there's something where it feels like there's maybe more parity now in the NBA as opposed to, you had the Golden State Warriors had a dynasty, the Miami Heat had a dynasty. Like, so it's, I think that makes it more enjoyable and more fun when you get more teams and more competitive at this point in the season.
Yes, the NBA has always been a dynasty league. The Lakers and Celtics for so many years. And I had a moment halfway through the season, and I just happened to look at standings, and I'm like, what? Oklahoma City and the Cleveland Cavaliers are the two best teams. What happened? You know, and it's like the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you look at the names on the team, same thing with Oklahoma City, and it's like, where did these guys come from? And some of these superstars are not the number one pick in the draft, So I think that's good, too. It doesn't – you're not so dependent on the ping pong balls, like San Antonio getting, David Robinson and Tim Duncan, and it just works out for them. So anyway, so this has been a great show as far as our topic, college football, Dustin. Hopefully our listeners can tolerate a little NBA talk without fast forwarding through, but this is the point. Well, how about we talk a little bit of college football? Crazy idea, Dustin.
Yeah, I know. We could probably get into that a little bit here.
Okay. Well, we are amidst the off season, but college football, for those of us who are professionals talking about it, the college football, the playoffs, NIL, transfer portal, those are the gifts that keep on giving. And yes. Constantly giving us a topic. And one of the things that's going on now is the conversations about the college football playoffs going forward. And it's so funny. I swear, Dustin, it took them like 40 years talking about having some kind of playoff before they did anything. Now that they start, it changes every year. We're already getting changes, not only for this year, but the year after. Let's start with the positive, or at least I think of it as positive. The contract they had for this 12-team playoff scenario that they did last year, it was only a two-year deal last year and this year. And then the contract would open up again, and we know that changes would be made. But for this coming year, they did make a change. If there was criticism, and I think it was the only thing wrong with the 12-team playoff last year, was how the seeding worked, where they gave a top four seed and a bye to the four top conference winners. And it didn't turn out the way they had hoped it would, did it, Dustin?
No, it didn't. But I also, I know we're going to have differing thoughts on this, so this should create some good commentary. I don't know how to say this, but I was not offended with them with Boise State and Arizona State earning automatic buys. I think that put even. Now, I know those teams were competing for something in their championship game. They were obviously committing for a spot in the playoff. And so they're still in this new format with the straight seeding. They are going to still have that opportunity to make the field and maybe not get a top four seed. But I was not as offended as a lot of people were with the straight seeding. And we can have a conversation as to why that might be. But I'll let you finish as to what this new format will look like.
Well, the... and. I probably wasn't quite as offended as some of the people in the Southeast Conference or the Big Ten were. And it actually turned out to the advantage of Penn State. Penn State would have gotten a bye had it been by straight seeding. The difference is what they're going to do this year is conference championship does not get you a bye. Once I guess it gets you an automatic playoff bid, but then they will just seed you how they rank the teams. What effect that would have had last year was you mentioned Boise State, Arizona State, neither of whom was even close to being ranked in the top four in the country, would have made the playoffs, but would not have gotten that top four seed and a bye. What you had were teams like Penn State that finished second in the Big Ten. If they were ranked in the top four, they would have gotten one of those byes. So it would be based. The problem with it last year, how it came out, Dustin, was Oregon, number one seed, undefeated regular season. But because teams like Penn State and Ohio State were quote unquote punished by being outside the top four because of this automatic bid set up for conference champions, Oregon, they get a bye, and then the first round they play Ohio State. Penn State, who lost the conference championship game to Oregon, even though they had to play in the first round, home game against SMU, second round against Boise State, they had smooth sailing all the way to the semifinals, Dustin.
Yeah, they did. And so it was a flawed system. I will acknowledge that in terms of how it played out this past season. So I understand why people were against or wanting to rearrange and do a straight seeding model. My thought, though, is it's probably like I can't imagine a scenario, and this is me probably just talking because of what I know. I can't imagine a scenario where those top four seeds don't go to the SEC or the Big Ten. Like, I think it's just going to be the SEC and Big Ten get those four byes every week or every year. And I know we may have a change in the terms of the format, but I just don't think there was a large enough sample size. I'm not a big fan of changing things after 1 year. Now this is going to be eventually a massive overhaul probably, but that's my only opposition is like, let's give it some time. Let's give it 3 or 4 years before we decide to make a final adjustment. And they decided to pull the trigger after just one.
Dustin, when we come back, I will tell you why you're completely wrong.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. We finished up, Dustin, segment number one with you telling us why the NCAA was wrong, or the College Football Playoff Committee was wrong in changing things for this year, where they're going to go to straight seeding as opposed to giving that buy to conference champions, and which resulted last year in Boise State and Arizona State getting the bye, even though they were ranked like what, 9th, 10th, 11th in the country, something to that effect. Now, this is not me with great sympathy for the Big Ten and Southeast Conference. Trust me. And they are going to get the wrath of Salty Jim as we progress on this show. But I think what needs to be understood, Dustin, is when they created this playoff scenario with 12 teams, the Pac-12 still existed.
Yep.
With Oregon and USC and, you know, a very good Washington team. The Pac-12 was very good in the last couple years of its existence. Also, there was a Big 12 that still had Oklahoma and Texas as part of them. So I always point out that it would have been last year if the conference champions would have gotten, you know, the top four of the five conferences, got the top four seeds and the byes. If the structure of college football was what it was that 2 years earlier or 1 year earlier, we could probably assume Oregon wins the Pac-12. Yep. We could have assumed Ohio State or Penn State would have won the Big Ten. We could have assumed Texas would have won the Big 12. And probably Georgia won the Southeast Conference. So if we had those four teams, Georgia, Texas, Oregon, and say Ohio State as the four teams getting the byes and those top four seeds, would there have been any problem with that, Dustin?
Nope. Man, I hate that you put such together such a logical argument.
Take no, that was, Dustin.
Yeah, that was a good – no, that's a good point. I think my – I guess my only thought was, again, I just don't like when we change things after one season. But I – we'll talk about this expansion in the future. So the actual straight seeding may not matter that much in terms of how we're talking right now anyway. In the long-term future.
It's true. This is a scenario where it's for 1 year, and I was surprised that they got it through because they needed unanimous voting to get this straight seeding, and I just assumed the Big 12, the ACC, somebody would have said, no.
You know what's – it kind of makes me wonder. Now, and I don't know – I'm going to admit ignorance here, and maybe you can shed some light on this. So one aspect of this may be that a team like Arizona State may say, we want that extra home game. We'd like to play in front of our crowd, get that extra, you know, little bit of cash flow. The other thing I don't know, Jim, people talk about this too with the NCAA tournament. And for the longest time, I was in favor of, look, I don't know why a 16 seed has to play a play-in game. Make it only bubble teams that have to play play-in games. But what I learned was when those 16 seeds play, A, they get exposure, and B, if they win, there's more money coming into their conference because they've won an NCAA tournament game. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of incentive. And again, I don't know the financial logistics of the college football playoff because that's I have not looked at it recently, but if you win a game, does the conference get a share of some extra money? Like, they might have a better chance of winning a game. Arizona State may say, hey, if we get the opportunity to play Boise State in that first round, as opposed to having to play Ohio State, we have a better shot. Because I think you get money for your conference for getting in. And under the four team, I think it was just a set amount of money for getting into the playoff. Now with that expanded, does it count in terms of each round or each game you win? Do you bring in more money to your conference or your school? And so that may be a factor as to why there was no opposition, especially from the G5.
Well, my understanding was that, you know, the top four conference winners still get an automatic bid, meaning they get mm-hmm. into the playoff. And financially, they weren't going to be punished for, okay, being seeded 10th instead of seeded 4th. So there was no financial penalty, at least, to them for this. And we all know at the end of the day, money is what really counts.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm not sure, you know, Arizona State would feel better about – I know as a Penn State fan, I was excited – I was probably more excited about Penn State getting a home playoff game than I would have been by them getting a bye.
Sure.
And, you know, and that was for having the individual experience to witness a playoff game. I mean, that was pretty special. And I think any Penn Staters who were at that game will attest to that. The atmosphere, I mean, it was a home playoff game. That's unheard of. That doesn't happen in college football. And it did. So that's a great thing to experience. So it also, just a little precursor to our conversation about the upcoming maybe 14 or more likely 16 team playoff that's coming. I felt that what's great about that is forget the bye. I want a home playoff game. Even if you're a Georgia or a Texas, and it means playing Boise State or Arizona State in that first round, just the experience. College football, I think, Dustin, is one of the sports. I don't want to say it's not the case in any other sport, especially talking to an Indiana Pacer fan who probably enjoys going to see a home Indiana playoff game. But I think college football, the home game experience is probably more special than it is in any other sport. I think a home playoff game is such a great reward to the fan base of that specific team that I think it would be, you know, with a straight seeding in a 16-team playoff, I think the over-under between being top eight or bottom eight would be huge as a fan because it means you get to see your team play at home.
Yeah, you're not going to get a disagreement from me there. I mean, that's what makes the sport what it is, right? The pageantry, the traditions, all that stuff, and playing in front of a sellout crowd, and you get a chance to see, like, Ohio State. You have 100, you know, whatever their capacity is, 90-some thousand. At Penn State, it's 110,000, basically. So I think that is a huge advantage, and it creates another special type of environment for fans to enjoy and fans to witness. So yeah, you're not going to get an argument from me there. If there was a way, and maybe there is something in the works, it doesn't sound like it, but we'll see if when they do decide to expand, if they give, like, I think you're right. I think most teams would love to have a home playoff game, whether they're a top four seed or, you know, top eight or whatever the case might be. So, yeah, there's no argument for me there.
Well, that I think will be important going forward. And I just want to make the point that we're currently talking about what's going to happen this season, where they're going to do straight seeding instead of winning your conference, getting that opportunity to get the bye. And what's fascinating to me, again, is remember when this was created, you still had a valid Pac-12. You had a much stronger Big 12. What you probably would have had, let's face it, Big 10 and Southeast Conference champions probably would have gotten, if not one and two, at least top four. And you probably then had a fight among the Pac-12, Big 12, and ACC to determine who those other two byes were. And that would have made perfect sense, Dustin. Nope, I don't think it would have even been a topic of conversation if we had the top four seeds. Ironically, Oregon and Texas, who I said would probably be, you know, the representatives from the Big 12 and the Pac-12, guess where they exist now?
Yeah.
So in many ways, I think the villain in college football, more than transfer portal, more than NIL, is these conferences changing. How the Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. The Big Ten just absorbed the top of them. And the Southeast Conference cherry-picked Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely changed. I mean, the regionality of college football is completely gone. And we've talked about, like, it's in some cases, I think it's fun for the fans, right? Because you talked about, now this year, Penn State gets to welcome Oregon into Happy Valley, and you get kind of a new team, new experience type of situation. You often point to when Auburn came up to Penn State, and the fan, you know, it was somebody new. You know, it was a chance to see a new team, but I think it has thrown a wrench in some of these playoff plans, because now what you're getting is like, we got a rematch of Ohio State, Oregon. And sometimes this stuff happens in other tournaments. You see this in basically every other sport, right? You can have a rematch at some point in the season, but I think the beauty of college football was basically you get to play a team one time. You get one shot at them. And so that aspect of it is completely gone. So, yeah, the Big Ten and the SEC being so greedy and being so such huge brands just being big brands and then gobbling up some of the top teams outside of those previous conferences, it's kind of thrown a wrench through everything.
Oh, don't worry. When we come back, those two conferences will get my wrath. But I think for this, that you're right. I've talked about it, that the opportunity to play Oregon, you know, Texas playing Alabama or Georgia, yeah. Those are wonderful experiences. If you're a fan of a Big Ten team or a Southeast Conference team, boy, if you're a fan, though, of any of those Pac-12 teams or the Big 12, you've lost so much here. I really do feel bad for those fans. When we come back, Dustin, okay, we've talked about what happens this season, how they're going to handle the seeding differently. We're going to hit the news on how they're going to handle the playoffs after this season. You won't want to miss this.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3. He's Dustin Schutte. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking college football and the changes that are coming to the college football playoff world. As we mentioned earlier, there are two different scenarios. One is just what is for this coming season, where we have a two-year contract. They changed the seeding so that instead of the automatic bids where Arizona State, Boise State ends up with a bye, that would go away, just straight seeding. Now we're going to talk about what's going to start happening in 26. But – I can see my colleague here, Dustin Schutte, looks like he's ready to burst out of his seat.
I do.
Go ahead, Dustin.
Okay. I do. So, okay, I wanted to make this point before we moved on to the topics. You ended the last segment by saying that for the Big Ten and the SEC, it's great because we get all these wonderful matchups and it's great for the fans and everything. And that you had a little bit of sympathy for the ACC, Big 12, and the now defunct Pac-12. I certainly have sympathy for the Pac-12. Here, though, would be my question to you. Now, this may not apply to you. Don't you also feel like, look, the fans don't get the money, right? The fans do not get any of this money. So that's not a factor to anybody's thoughts. If you are in the Big 12, though, or the ACC, don't you look at what's happening and been like, we don't have to deal with Texas or Oklahoma anymore. Great. We have a better shot. Like the Big 12 last year was not a great conference, but like 8 teams had a chance to win the Big 12 entering that final week of the season. The ACC there was at least some level, like it could have been Miami, SMU, Clemson. I don't know if there was a fourth team in that mix or not. I can't remember going back that far, but I know those 3 teams were in it late. So if you look at it, like look at now, I'm going to use this as an example, but there's probably teams in the Big Ten, Rutgers, Maryland, Northwestern, we could probably say Purdue, that are probably looking at it like, man, we really don't have much of a chance with Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State. Now, Penn State's always going to be in that mix, so they love the great matchups. It's all about atmosphere. They're probably always going to have a shot to reach the playoff. Some of those other – like in other seasons, BYU, Arizona State, Colorado may not have a legit chance if Texas and Oklahoma are still in those leagues. So I don't feel as bad because I feel like there's at least in those conferences, for some of those lesser programs, you may say, hey, we got more of a chance now. And what do you care? If you get into the playoff, that's all you want. It's like a mid-major getting into the NCAA tournament. Like, hey, we don't care. Maybe we could go on a run like George Mason or like Butler. And I think that applies to college football. Now, you may not get the same regular season games, the same quality, or get the chance to play, but maybe you can get that in the non-conference schedule.
You make very good points, Dustin. And now, just playing a little bit of devil's advocate, because on a level, I do agree with you. I think we'll both agree, though. The Pac-12 teams got the short end of the stick here.
Yes, I agree.
That's, you know, the beginning, middle, and end of that story. I think what the Big 12 lost as a whole, though, is they're winning, and it's like winning the MAC championship now. Maybe not quite that level, but yes, you have a better chance. Arizona State probably does not win the conference if Texas and Oklahoma were still there.
Right.
But I think overall, the Big 12, they lose a lot of overall respect for the conference without those two teams. Just think how much if Arizona State were able to win the conference with Texas and Oklahoma in it, there's a whole different level of respect for winning the conference. And the last note I'll make before I let you kick back in, which I can tell you want to, is if you're Oklahoma State, don't you want a piece of Oklahoma? If you're Texas Tech, if you're Baylor, don't you want a shot at Texas?
Yes, I think they do. I think that's a valid point. I think anytime, and I can speak to this from a local standpoint, from when, even though Purdue, I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to say it, got their ass kicked every year basically by Notre Dame, but there were a lot of Purdue people that were upset that that rivalry went away because that was kind of your measuring stick, right? Like, are we really good? Can we beat Notre Dame? And when that rivalry, now it's come back. But it used to be every year. Now they use their, I think it's like a 6-year contract. They're in year three or whatever, beside the point. But when those rivalries go away and when you have your measuring stick kind of no longer on that schedule, I think there is a little bit of, man, I really wish we could play Oklahoma this year. I really wish we could play Texas this year. So I agree with you on that front. But I'm going to use an old school reference here. Remember how dominant the Big East used to be on the basketball court? That was the conference. That was the league. That was the league to win. That was the cream of the crop. Now the Big East is not that. They've got some good teams. UConn won back-to-back national championships. Do you think they care about the respect they get for winning the Big East regular season title? No. So if somebody from the Big 12 or the ACC wins a national championship or even makes a deep run, do they really care? Like, we're ACC champs. Yeah, it may not mean as much as it used to, but guess what? We made a deep run. We won a national championship. We don't really care.
To get the counterpoint, you're cherry picking with UConn. And also, basketball is a little bit different. In basketball, you could have a Butler. You could have a Gonzaga. You could have a Marquette. You could have a UConn. Teams from those kind of conferences where there's an individual team who could rise up. In fact, the dominant Big East that you were talking about was just filled with those kind of teams that don't even have a football program.
Yeah.
Villanova, St. John's, Georgetown, and, you know, basketball, completely different kind of sport than football is. And now, of course, we've got, you know, the Southeast Conference and Big Ten. And that, to be honest with you, Dustin, as the changes happen, and like I said, everybody is throwing darts at NIL, the transfer portal, as the antichrist in this scenario. I think the devil is the Big Ten and Southeast Conference, who destroyed the Pac-12 completely, damaged the Big 12 perhaps irreparably, and now, and this is also my chance to segue into what we were supposed to talk about, which is now you have the Big Ten and Southeast Conference just acting as bullies to get what they want in the playoff scenario, you know, come 26. And I'll let you still make your point on that topic, but just to point out what it is those two conferences are looking for, there was talk of going to 14 teams. Now it appears it's going to be 16 teams, which, by the way, I have no problem with. Why 14? Just go to 16. And yeah. Got the even number. We'll hit on that in a second. But those two conferences are hitting this, but we want automatic bids. Not for our conference champion, but for four teams each. So the Southeast Conference, Big Ten, would each get four. The Big 12 and ACC would each get two. And by the way, I'm holding up my hands for Dustin here. He doesn't know what four means. I got to hold up four fingers.
And got to break out the abacus.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, one group of five automatic bid. And what's interesting is the very argument those two conferences make is, well, look at the history. If we had had 16-team playoffs for the last 10 years, you know, under the old 14 playoff, we would have gotten at least four teams and maybe five. And I think their argument is bogus because if that's the case, why do you need the automatic bids?
Yep, I could not agree with you more. And I am a big proponent of if you win your conference, you get the automatic bid, and then let the rest play out. And we're not going to argue on this one because I don't like. And again, I think we've talked about this before. Most years, probably 95% of the time, it's not going to matter. The Big Ten and SEC would get four teams in no matter what. But how many teams did the SEC get in this past year, Jim?
Was it less than four, Dustin?
It was less than four. And so that's what – there could be a year. It's probably, again, not going to happen very often. But there could be a year when you look at the Big Ten and say, outside of Penn State and Ohio State, who do you want to put in? Like, who deserves that spot? And so that, to me, again, yes, most of the time, the Big Ten and the SEC are going to have four teams that are deserving of a spot in the playoff, maybe more. But for those years that it's not, you could have the Big 12 or the ACC or a group of – or whatever might be deserving of some of those spots that are just going to be automatically given to the Big 10 or the SEC.
Now, here's the argument from those two conferences, and it may be a little bit of perverse logic here, but their point is, like, the Southeast Conference says, we have so many good teams, our, you know, three-loss team is better than your one-loss team, and I get it. But the committee already takes scheduling into consideration. But their argument going forward is the Southeast Conference famously or infamously only has eight conference games. Mm-hmm. And they say, we don't want to risk more losses by having a ninth conference game. That could damage our opportunity to get into the playoffs. So this is where the perverse logic comes in. They say, we'll play a ninth conference game, but we need to know we get four teams in automatically so that we're willing to play that ninth conference game, Dustin. That's their logic.
And so to that point, why would you not go to 10? Why, like, I feel like you could make way more money from a network standpoint if you just went 10. If you know you're getting those four bids, then what does the non-conference schedule matter at all? It doesn't. There's going to be at-large, so maybe a fifth one could sneak in from one of those conferences or both. But why? I don't know why you wouldn't go 10 and give you 5 and 5 home games and then give networks another week of conference football that is going to be more profitable than watching them play Villanova, Louisiana Tech, whoever else you want to throw up there.
And that does happen. And you brought up the point about, hey, why not go to 10 games because of money, which, by the way, is the source of everything they do. It ultimately comes back to money. And the other part to this it does also lead to this discussion about non-conference games. And we have Ohio State versus Texas in the first week of the season this year. So the argument, well, I'm going to make the argument when we get back after this break, Dustin.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin Schutte, Sports Illustrated Big Ten sports writer. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter four of our show. And Dustin, we're talking about not in 25 when they're going to change the seeding for the college football playoffs, but 26 when there's a new contract and all the repercussions to what the Big Ten and Southeast Conference are trying to push. They're pushing for automatic bids. They want four for their own conferences. The logic they're using for it is, well, in the Southeast Conference, we can now play a ninth conference game without being hurt making the playoffs. And we can get, I believe ESPN has conceded and will pay more money if they play that ninth conference game. They will also argue, well, gee, we'll be more willing to play good out-of-conference games because it won't hurt us in getting in the top four. But that brings up all kinds of other questions. Say, again, I mentioned Ohio State playing Texas this year in a huge out-of-conference game, which is fantastic and going to have major repercussions. Well, if the top four seeds from each conference get into the playoffs, all of a sudden Texas, Ohio State, might those coaches look at this out-of-conference game as, it's no more than an NFL preseason game. Let's have Arch Manning out there for the first series and pull.
Yeah, I think that would be 100% the case. Maybe not 100. I think that could be the case. But it's more important for us to finish in the top four of the SEC than it is for us to beat Ohio State. And again, we're talking about a minimal number of at-large bids. One, if it's a 14 team, I think it's probably going to go to 16. So that would mean you're going to have three at-large bids. So maybe you win that game, it gives you an edge. But every team is going to be fighting for the top four spots in their conference. So I don't know, like on paper and in terms of brand recognition, yeah, it's a really big matchup. And I think in most cases, it's going to be probably a lot of times teams are going to try to win that game, obviously, right? Get some momentum. But if you get down 21-0, big deal. We'll throw in the backups here. We'll get run out of town, and then we'll just focus on getting one of those top four spots in the conference. Like you can, there's not as much emphasis. There's not as much on the line or at stake in those kind of games.
Those critics of the expanded playoffs who say it diminishes the regular season, there is the example where a regular season game gets diminished. I want to hit, though, Dustin, the other part to their plan is, again, about television money. Instead of just saying, hey, we play our conference out, we still have a conference championship game. So last year, the Big Ten, Oregon plays Penn State. Oregon wins, they're the number one seed, you know, Penn State's number two. I don't want to say that becomes irrelevant in the Big Ten Southeast Conference, but they both made the playoffs anyway this past year and would still probably be the case. But instead of having the third and fourth place teams get that automatic bid, they're going to have a play-in, essentially. Yep. So this gives us an opportunity for, essentially, it's a playoff game where they would have their number three team play number six and number four play number five in that championship game weekend. to get an automatic playoff bid. And that would be a valuable television entity. So all of a sudden, you would have this past year, I think it would have worked out with Iowa, number six, playing number three, Ohio State. And if Iowa pulls off an upset, they get the automatic bid and Ohio State does not.
Right. And I think the other one, oh man, now I have to think. I think maybe it was Indiana and Illinois, if I remember right. That might have been the matchup. Either way, so let me tell you what I hate about this. And I don't necessarily hate those play-in games, but if you do that, even the Big Ten championship game then does not matter at all. So you're not playing, you're probably not playing for seed. I mean, maybe you play for a bye, but you're automatically in. Like, I don't know why you would play in that game. I just say take the week off, get a little extra rest. Maybe you're playing for seeding, maybe you're not. But, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, but the way that they have the format currently is weird. So I don't know what the advantage is to even playing that game.
Well, this is where one, I've been very much defending a lot of what the Southeast Conference and Big Ten have done. I even went so far as to say, well, gee, with the four automatic bids, if that means I get more big out-of-conference games, if I get nine-game schedule in the Southeast Conference, if I get some kind of Southeast Conference Big Ten Challenge weekend, which I think would be phenomenal, Dustin, if that was to get that, this is the price I have to pay. I'm willing to pay it as a fan. But here's where they've just lost me. For some reason, you have 16 teams, okay? Anyone who's been involved in sports from the time they were yay high, Dustin, could say, understand. Oh, playoffs typically have 4, 8, 16 teams for a reason. It's the numbers work out for a playoff tournament where everyone plays in the first round. 16 teams. You have 8 games, 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15. It's really easy, Dustin. No. No. They're talking about having essentially the last 4 teams, 16 through 13, play a first week play-in round. Then you have 14 teams left, so now you've got the awkward number where 12 of those teams would play. So you have 6 winners, and the top 2 seeds would get a 2-week bye, which you know will turn out to be probably the winner of that Big Ten championship game and that winner of the Southeast Conference game. So those championship games, actually, if you win that, you get 2 weeks off byes. Dustin, that's where they lost me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I hate it, Dustin.
I do too. And the other thing is, there is one letter can make a lot of difference, right? And that is rest versus rust. So how do we know that giving those teams that amount of time off is even beneficial? Like we've seen it in times in the NFL. Now, I mean, maybe you get to a point where you're so good it doesn't matter. But how many times do you see teams in the last 2 weeks of the season in the NFL say, we're going to rest these guys? Or they just come out and they're sluggish. Now, I mean, you obviously get a chance that's less hits on your players. That's a lower chance of risking injury and things of that nature. But also to some degree, like if you haven't played in a couple weeks, is your rhythm and timing going to be off? So who knows? Like to me, what – if you have a bye, and in all but one team, I'm trying to remember now off the top of my head, like all the bye teams lost in their first game, or did Georgia lost? Yeah, all the teams that got a bye lost their first game. So we don't even know if that's an advantage at this point.
The obvious advantage is you had no chance of losing, okay?
Right.
If you have a bye. But also, and Here is just crazy, wild, wild take for me, Dustin, okay? But hang with me on this. How about if we think about the fans a little bit? I know that's crazy.
No.
Crazy talk. But with 16 teams, you make that first week is played at the home field.
I agree.
Of the higher seed. Dustin, maybe people are tired of me saying this, but that is one of the greatest gifts you could give to the fans of the team. Mm-hmm. 100,000 Penn State fans get to see their team play a playoff game by having that home playoff game.
Yep.
And you have, you know, so many playoff games now. There's fatigue among the fans to have to travel. But if you make that a home playoff game, Dustin, I think they should do the first two rounds at home. And you know what? Really make that. That means if you're a top four seed, you make that important. You get two home playoff games, Dustin. That is a tremendous reward, not just for the team to play for the higher seeding, but then for the fans of those teams to get two home playoff games. Dustin, that's phenomenal. And I could tell you as a Penn Stater how much I enjoyed the fact that Penn State made it to the semifinals. I had like an extra month of college football that I was really vested in.
Right.
I was crazy about the fact that Penn State got a home playoff game. What if they got two, Dustin?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in favor of it. I like this plan. And then even if you want, so all you would have to do, you have, if you play the final four and the championship game, no, wait, my math is way off there. Never mind. That was going to be, I was going to try to make a good point with the New Year's 6-point bowls, but you're still playing three of them.
Well, yeah, you, if you do two rounds, you go from 16 to 8 to four teams left. Mm-hmm. And then if you only have four teams left that travel to the neutral field, you could still make those part of the bowl games. And if right. you're a fan of one of those top four teams, you only have to travel twice for the playoffs.
Yeah. And I think that that's a huge advantage for fans. Like, you're going to get to a point where I think a lot of people probably spent a lot of money this year because it was so new and this was something they wanted to do. But at some point, you're going to start pricing people out. And I think it's unfortunately going to come down to a corporate type of event, these bowl games.
I have one of our sponsors, they do charter flights to tournament games, both basketball and football. And they say, like, for basketball, like Duke and North Carolina, their fans don't even bother with me till we get to, you know, the Sweet 16 or the Final yep. Four. I can't be bothered with those first round games.
Yeah, I think you'd see that similarly with like Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Alabama. I think you would run into that issue the same. So why not have them be home games? And then I would think more fans would be willing to travel just to those final or those last two games if they make it.
Exactly, Dustin. See, and I still do not understand why the college football folks do not come to us for advice on how to handle this. We solved it all in an hour. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.